We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, segment number two here with our NBAF officials, and going to get an update here on the construction timeline, and I'll turn to Katie Pulaski, NBAF Communications Director. Katie, we've been hearing the timeline for construction has been delayed again. What can you tell us on that front?
Sure thing, Brandon. So, as we've talked about before, the Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate is building NBAF, and then USDA will take ownership and operations after completion of construction and commissioning. So according to our partners at DHS S&T, the installation of some of the newer equipment and technology upgrades, as well as the testing and retesting of all of NBAF's unique and complex building systems, is really just taking a little bit longer than anticipated. So completion of construction is now estimated to be finished in the spring of 2022, so this coming spring, with commissioning estimated to be completed in the summer of 2022. So kind of stepping back as a reminder, when USDA and DHS announced the construction timeline realignment last December, there were two key changes that aimed to minimize the future mission delays caused by the pandemic. And so one of those was addressing some necessary technology upgrades that were identified after the facility design was completed in 2012. So, as we can all imagine, there's obviously a lot of technology that exists today that didn't exist in 2012. So the one part of that was some technology upgrades. And the other was the installation of some USDA-funded equipment. And so the COVID-19 disruptions at that time provided an opportunity to realign the schedule to include those items in the new substantial completion of construction milestone rather than finishing them after construction was completed. And again, the goal there was just to minimize further delays to the overall transition of USDA science mission from Plum Island over to NBAF. So, in the meantime, USDA and DHS are making the most of this time by transferring operational functions of the facility one piece at a time. So as opposed to doing the whole facility transfer at the same time after construction is completed. So that's what we've been referring to as the phased transition of operations. So while the pandemic has extended the timeline some, it certainly hasn't slowed down USDA's work as we prepare to open this very critical and complex facility.
All right. Dr. Ken Burton joins us here. He's the NBAF coordinator. Dr. Burton, what type of technology upgrades are needed, and why is it delaying the project?
Well, thanks, Brandon. And as Katie said, technology, as you can guess, has advanced a great deal since 2012. So, when people ask me this question, I always use the example of our cell phones for comparison. So, look how many changes they've undergone over the last 10 years. They've gone from not only, they've gotten smaller, and sometimes now we're seeing them getting larger, but what they can do for us now is incredible. They've gone from just being a communication device with texting and talking capabilities to being able to actually carry a small, powerful computer in our hands. So, with those upgrades occurring over the last 10 years, in order to accomplish our NBAF mission of being able to protect the U.S. against transboundary and emerging animal diseases and livestock, we're also dedicated to making sure that we're utilizing the most cutting-edge technology, because we need the best diagnostic research and training possible for our scientists and for our people. So in some instances, that new technology has gotten smaller. Some have gotten larger, just like the cell phones, and some require different power configurations. So the rooms where that equipment will be housed and the modifications that are occurring during these last phases of construction, that's what's going on. And so that's required a great deal of cooperation and coordination between DHS, USDA, and the construction company to make sure everything's ready at the point where we bring our scientists in on a permanent basis. Everything's ready for them to begin their work. So just give you a little bit more background on the types of finishing modifications that are occurring. In all our laboratories and rooms and containment, the walls have to be perfectly smooth and able to be completely decontaminated on a routine basis and between projects in the animal area. So it's quite a process that construction goes through to get those walls that smooth. And so anytime you do something that modifies the wall surface, which, like some of the technology changes require, the process has to be repeated and make sure that it's done correctly. So these modifications, as well as the coordination of the air handling systems within containment, make sure all the pressure gradients are maintained, and those are all part of the critical nature of the systems that have to be in place and work together flawlessly in order to maintain that level of safety that Anthony was visiting about that we require at NBAF. So these are things that we really can't rush and won't rush, and so the timeline's been adjusted to reflect that. But on the good side, like Katie mentioned, USDA's continued to progress with our phase transition, and now we're responsible for operations and maintenance on the campus as of October 1st. And as of this last Monday, we began full fit out outside of the containment barrier. So this is everything that is necessary for the personnel to work in the office space and to work outside of containment. And actually, we're going to begin bringing our scientists out from Plum Island over the next few months so that they can begin training on some of the equipment that has been installed. So lots going on, but a lot of good reason behind why it is what it is.
Does the recent change here, does that change any of the timeline for bringing those folks over from Plum Island to Manhattan?
Big picture-wise, you know, a lot still remains unknown about the long-term effects of the pandemic and the material availability. But we continue to work to try and find ways that we're phasing either employees from Plum Island or hiring employees here in Manhattan that will travel to Plum Island until we transfer everybody back on a permanent basis. So, you know, hiring's still going well. Since March of 2020, we've hired 170 employees virtually, and now we've got about 85% of our operational employees hired, so about 240 of the little over 400 total employees at NBAF are hired. And about a quarter of the NBAF staff has moved to the area for their current position with NBAF. So, and that's before we even start to transfer the science piece yet. So things are still, you know, to use the old saying, the pandemic handed us all lemons, but USDA, DHS are actually really making lemonade out of it.
Oh, very good. Well, Katie, lastly, how is NBAF working to keep employees who are still teleworking engaged in their work despite not having a facility?
Yeah, Brandon, I have to say, you know, back in March when we all set it into telework, I would have had, you know, no way of knowing that we would still be here now. It's certainly been interesting, but, you know, as Dr. Burton mentioned, we've now hired over 170 employees completely virtually, from interviews to, you know, a quick stop at the office to pick up their IT equipment, and then back to home to work. So it's been a pretty big effort. You know, with the phase transition, we're really excited to see more and more USDA employees working on site at the facility and doing the jobs they were hired to do. And you know, as we bring new employees on board, we schedule sessions for them to meet with leadership. We also give them our introduction to NBAF outreach presentation. So we're sort of all on the same page about NBAF's mission, vision, and goals. We really want these folks to certainly feel part of our team. We also have a monthly employee newsletter that we send out to keep everyone on the same page with our progress. And it's also an opportunity to help our team get to know each other and our various units and responsibilities, talk about committees, updates, and upcoming events. And then we're also working with a contractor to help us identify ways to build our team's culture through various team building trainings and activities, and all that virtually, you know, while we wait for the opportunity to return to the physical workplace. So this is really something that, you know, no one has really done a lot before, is, you know, trying to do this team building and culture building virtually. So we've been focusing on things like building trust, getting to know each other's kind of personalities so we can work better together. I think next we're planning to focus on priority setting, So the current guidance from USDA says that employees who are in maximum telework will be able to start phasing back to the workplace in January, with the goal to have everyone transitioned by March, pending no more delays related to the pandemic. So we're getting close to being able to return to the workplace, but we've really done an incredible job keeping things moving virtually.
All right. Well, yeah, we're coming up on almost 2 years. It's kind of crazy to think that. As far as teleworking has been going on at NBAF, but hopefully the end is in sight soon, and we'll see what happens here in the next few months. Thank you guys for the updates here today. It was great to hear from you, Anthony, and Katie and Dr. Burton. Thanks for being here with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. More In Focus continues in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.